Okay, our scripture text this morning is taken from the latter part of the Gospel of John, chapter 2 and verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And today being Mother's Day, we're going to pick up on the last phrase of that verse, and the mother of Jesus was there. Notice here that Mary is called here the mother of Jesus and not the mother of God. She was God's chosen vessel to be blessed among women in bearing Jesus in his humanity by way of the virgin birth, the supernatural conception. The Holy Spirit would come upon her and she would give birth to Jesus and his humanity. And it's in this sense that she is said to be the mother of the Lord in Luke chapter 1 and verse 43. However, God in his divinity does not have a mother because he is eternal by definition. So Mary cannot rightly be called mother of God when Jesus in his divinity is in view. Now the context here is the wedding in Cana of Galilee. This is Jesus' first recorded miracle when he turned water into wine. The context is important in our message this morning insofar as it is part of Mary's pattern of behavior. And we'll expound upon that in a little bit here. We'll examine the portrait of Mary painted by the scriptures, a godly woman and a godly mom. You see, no needful subject is neglected in this book of books. The book that you hold in your hands, the Holy Bible, has something to say about every circumstance, every topic, if you will, that you might encounter in life. Motherhood, of course, is no exception. This morning we're going to look at the character underlying Mary's behavior. Secondly, the pattern of Mary's behavior, which arises out of that godly character. Third, what we might learn from her example. Applications for both ladies this morning and gentlemen as well. We're not going to leave anybody out. We're going to follow some of her character traits through the Gospel of Luke. If you'd like to follow along with me, you may. Or you can simply listen along. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, we read, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." You see, Mary had just been informed by the angel that she was going to be found to be with child. And everybody knew, God, the angel, Mary, that she hadn't had any relations yet. And so in verse 34, she said, "How can this be since I do not know a man?" But nevertheless, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Notice here Mary's submissiveness to the will of God. Mary's submissiveness to the will of God, the first character trait that we want to call to your attention this morning. Second character trait, Mary was devout in her spiritual service towards God, in her spiritual attitude towards him as well. We read verse 46 as our call to worship this morning. "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior.'" So not only is Mary submissive to the will of God, but she is devout in her attitude towards God and devout in her spiritual service. Worship being the spiritual service that we're called to give our Lord above all things, above all other services. He asks us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Mary gives us an example doing just that. Third, Mary is humble in spirit. Luke chapter 1 and verse 48, we read, "For He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call Me blessed." Humility. The third character trait that underlies Mary's behavior. Mary is submissive to the will of God first, devout in her spiritual service to God in offering up worship. She's also humble in spirit, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. Fourth character trait that Mary has, and we'll bring this out a little bit more later on, but we're going to pick it up in Luke 2:35, the prophecy of Simeon to Mary made in the temple. "Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also." You see, the sword would figuratively pierce through Mary's heart when she watched her baby, humanly speaking, suffering on that tree. A sword would pierce not only through her heart, but through her very soul, through her being. Why is this? Well, you see, Mary loved much. Mary loved much. Godly character underlying Mary's behavior. Submissiveness to the will of God. Devoutness in spiritual things. Humility in spirit. And a heart of gold. Like many moms here in attendance this morning, and many moms and many women that maybe you can think of as you're sitting here this morning. Blessings from God. What Mary's character was not, right? We just looked at what Mary's character was. What Mary's character was not. You see, she didn't question the sovereignty of God. She didn't limit His power in the manner of Zacharias when he said, "Well, how could this be?" With this attitude of unbelief for which he would be struck dumb. The Lord says, "You know what? You think I don't have any power? I'm going to show you a little bit of power. You're going to have a little bit of power going on here. You're not going to speak for a little while, and you're going to learn that I can do all things. Even create life where there is no life. Even create life in ways that you, Zacharias, can't humanly understand." See, Mary got this because of that great faith that she had. She said, "You know what? I don't know, Lord, how You're going to do it. But I know You're going to do it. How You're going to do it? How You're going to do it, Lord? Clue me in. Clue me in. But if not, well, okay. Okay, I'll go along for the ride. And I'm going to trust You." What Mary's character was not. Prideful. See, Mary never sought a name for herself. Mary always came out with this attitude of humility. Pride was foreign to her. She didn't seek to lift herself up. She didn't go out there and say, "You know what? I'm the mother of Jesus. You better move out of the way, guys, because I'm mom." No. She regarded herself lowly. She rejoiced in God, her Savior. She understood that as blessed as she was, Jesus came to save not just everybody else, but He came to save her too. God Himself provided a Savior for her. And it was incidental, you might say, in terms of humility and pride, that He chose to do it through her physical body, in a sense, right? Secondly, let's look at the pattern of Mary's behavior. Now, the pattern of Mary's behavior was a reflection of our character. What we do, how we act, how we behave arises out of who we are. Ultimately, it's all going to come out in the wash. See, Mary was submissive to God's will, devout in her faith and her spiritual service of worship, humble in spirit, and she loved unconditionally. Now our text says, and the mother of Jesus was there. Why is it that the mother of Jesus was there so often at pivotal points of Jesus' life here on earth? Why is that? Because the fact that she was there, the fact that she behaved so, was a result of the fact that her character was so great. You see, in evangelicalism, we have a tendency to kind of push Mary under the rug as a reaction to what other people do, you know, lifting her to the status of divinity by encouraging people to pray to her. And sometimes we can push her so far under the rug that we can miss the great example that she sets as a human being, as a sinner saved by grace, a great woman of faith. Now our text says, and the mother of Jesus was there. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And the mother of Jesus was there when he came into this world. Luke 2:22. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now Jesus was born and circumcised on the eighth day according to the law, after the 33 days had passed according to the Levitical law, Leviticus chapter 12 verses 2 through 4, the time of her purification had passed. Jesus would have been 40 days old at this point, and he was presented in the temple before the priests for a blessing to be pronounced upon him, a blessing upon the firstborn son, so it was thought, of Mary. And guess what? The mother of Jesus was there. Matthew chapter 2, we find Jesus, the infant Jesus, in a house in Bethlehem. The wise men would come bearing gifts, contrary to popular belief and contrary to our nativity scene. The wise men actually came to Jesus, the Magi from the east, would come to Jesus in a house in his infancy at some point between his birth and the age of 2. And we know this because the king would seek to destroy all children under the age of 2, having ascertained the time from the Magi, from their astrology, which even pointed them to the truth of the Hebrew scriptures, as well as the scribes in the king's court at that time. And the mother of Jesus was there throughout the time. Now there would be the flight into Egypt to escape this great persecution. And guess what? The mother of Jesus was there. She went through all of this stuff, right, with her baby. Just like your mom went through all of these times with you. Never leaving you for a minute because it was more expedient for her. It might have been a little more comfortable for her to hide Jesus someplace and just go on living some comfortable life. in somebody else's home. But no, moms don't do things like that. Moms sacrifice for their babies and their children. We don't always realize it until we're of age. And sometimes even when we're of age, we don't necessarily appreciate what our mom's done for us. But let us reflect upon that today of all days. Luke chapter 2, picking up the narrative in verse 41, we find that his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Again, according to the law, it would be prescribed if you were able to go down and make that pilgrimage to Jerusalem and celebrate the commemorative work, what God had done in granting freedom to the Israelites who had been slaves in Egypt, that God's deliverance from bondage of his people, Israel, a picture of his deliverance from bondage, of you and I from sin, by the way. This is why Jesus Christ is called our Passover. Christ, our Passover. So the boy Jesus, at 12 years of age, is there debating the scholars in the temple in the following verses. And he gives his mom quite a scare. They're already on their way back home. And then they realize that Jesus is not with the entourage. It's not like they're, you know, in a car, you know, with us, with mom and dad and the kids, you know, in the back seat, you know, screaming and hooting and hollering. And, you know, you know they're there, right? You know they're in the car. But it wasn't like that. There was this entourage of people, you know, all coming, you know, mainly for safety reason, but also the community would get together and support one another and go together to worship the Lord. Same reason we come out now and worship the Lord corporately. It was a corporate time of worship. The mother of Jesus was there. And then in John chapter 2 and verse 1, we come to the wedding in Cana, right? These are the good old days. These are the good old days where there were not so many problems. And here's Jesus at or about age 30. And Mary, his mother, and they go to attend a wedding in Cana. The weddings in those days were great times of celebration. They would provide a time of relaxation and merriment where you could kind of get away from the grind, you know, that 6 days of work, week after week after week. Those 6 days from sunset to sundown, 12-hour days, and you'd have your rest on the Sabbath. But the wedding would be a time where you could get together and take a break from that. Spend a little time to celebrate what the Lord has done and be with the ones you love. We all need those appointed times. Now, if they had pictures in those days, I could just picture Mary and Jesus sitting down. Of course, Joseph had probably passed away at some point between the time Jesus was 12 and the time Jesus was 30, as we find no mention of him in his earthly ministry beginning at age 30. But he's there in Luke 2:41. So he's still around up till the age of 12 at least. He raised his son, well, humanly speaking. Now, if they had pictures in those days, you can imagine Mary sitting down with Jesus and his half-brothers and half-sisters saying, "Look at this. Remember what a great time we had at that wedding." Do you have times like that? And then there were times that aren't necessarily recorded in the scriptures. And I'm kind of going out on a limb here. But I could imagine that there were times where Mary had some really joyful times raising boy Jesus. Now, we don't know anything about it from the Holy Writ, and all of this other stuff that we hear about it coming out, like from the Gospel of Thomas and all this stuff, it's all a bunch of foolishness. None of this stuff is inspired. But I'm sure that there were times where Jesus and Mary had like this great time. And they'd be looking through their picture album saying, wow, remember this, what a great time we had. And then those other times. And here's a picture of the entourage, and your place was empty. And here's a picture that Joseph took of Mary, frantic. She thought she'd lost her child somewhere along the way. And maybe he was devoured by wild beasts, or he had been kidnapped. Kind of like the feeling of your child hiding in a, you know, a little, one of those things of clothes, one of those circular things, and you go into a department store, and I think every son, most sons have done this, right, hidden under the clothes, just to give mom a heart attack. And why does mom have a heart attack? Because she loves you so much. She wants what's best for you. And all of these things go through her mind at this time. Even as adults, we do that sometimes. We tend to hide in the midst of the clothes where mom can't find us. And that tugs at her heartstrings too. Mom wants to hear from you. Even just to say, hello, I'm okay. Hi, mom. I love you, mom. You don't know how much that means to mom. In there, in Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 19, there's Jesus and his earthly ministry. And we read, then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. You see, his mother hadn't been completely distant from Jesus, even in his ministry. She would come to see him. You kind of get the idea reading through the Gospels that Jesus is kind of floating around with just the 12, doing his thing, healing people, preaching the kingdom of God, validating his message in various ways by teachings and miracles and various signs and such. But you see, from time to time, the mother of Jesus was there. When it counted, the mother of Jesus would be there. Now, who is his mother? One who hears the word of God and does it. And he speaks of spiritual relationships. Jesus' spiritual kin are closer to him than his physical kin, incarnationally speaking. Jesus' family are those who apprehend him by faith, those who accept his gospel as truth, and then go forth and discipleship, in obedience. See, Mary was both. It was very good that she was blessed among women to be the bearer of Jesus and his humanity. But even better, much more so, that she would be counted among them who hear the word of God and do it. Let her example be an example to you as somebody who hears the word of God and does it. See, some take this as a rebuke, but it doesn't necessarily have to be taken so. There is an application here which speaks of the great faith of Mary as well, if you can see it. John chapter 19, verse 25. John 19, 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Most of his disciples were deterred by the power of Rome and the Jews who hated Christ. Not Mary. Behold the faithful woman standing by. The mother of Jesus was there. You see, maternal love was not concerned at all with her own pain. She wasn't afraid. She was never a Judas to her son. She was faithful because of her great unconditional love. Agape love that would find her standing at the foot of the cross, mourning over the death of her son. A sword piercing her own soul, it was prophesied 3 years prior. This love is a reflection of the one who is love personified. For it is written, 1 John chapter 4 in the 16th verse, God is love. God is love. Love, therefore, is God. What might we learn from these things, ladies and gentlemen? People will behave according to their character. The only way to improve the outer person is to work on the character of the inner person. And it's not something that we can do without the Lord's help. You see, this work is divinely wrought. Therefore, allow God to work in you and through you. Good behavior is a result of good character. Also, as you examine yourself and where you're at in your Christian walk, saying, Lord, is it I who might be capable of sinning so or walking away from you so many times? Expect what you inspect. You can expect what you inspect. Taking a good hard look at yourself to see whether your character comes up to the levels that we've looked at this morning. Devoutness, submissiveness, humility, and love. Children, what you do, good or bad, what happens in your life affects your mother, your grandmother, those women in your life who love you so, even your dad, your granddad, and the men in your life as well. Do not bring sorrow, but joy. It is written, a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Proverbs 10:1. So you have the power, the ability in yourself to bring mom joy or to bring mom sorrow. Which of these things will you do this day? You see, you also have the ability to bring God in heaven, who loves you, joy or sorrow. Will you bring your Heavenly Father joy today? Or will you bring him sorrow? The choice is yours. So go forth, forget not, and honor your mom, your wife, today. For they are truly a gift of God for you. Heavenly Father, may you bless each and every one here this morning. Guide us that we might honor you in all we do, that we might encourage and lift up the ladies in our lives. To God be the glory. Superintend the remainder of our service, we pray. In the name of the Alpha and the Omega, amen.